What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Mongols podcast. I'm Mike, with me is Kev and Josh. Coming up on today's show, we'll recap the Hounds' most recent game against the Richmond Kickers, we'll talk a little Penguins, and we'll get pumped for some foot golf. Let's go!
Can you believe that, guys?
No, I mean, that is the craziest sequence of events we've seen in quite a period of time.
In the top right corner, gentlemen, up to the middle, back to
So, yes, I did say Kev and Josh. After the success and the fun that we had on the last show, Josh has been bumped up to a regular. So, Josh, welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm excited for this.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Your insight is amazing, especially, you know, how involved you've been the past few years with the Steel Army. So, welcome.
I feel like Josh is like the good creative playmaker in the middle of the pitch that just makes everyone better. You know what I mean? I felt like we were better that last podcast because of Josh. So yeah. I mean, I'm thrilled to have him on. It's cool.
Yeah, we'll see if I'm the positive one this episode though.
Oh yeah, we had some pre-show talk. Let's just get right into it. So the Hounds lost again to Richmond Kickers on Saturday, 3-1. Basically, we gave up two own goals. One was a shot that went off of Connor Branson's chest as he was waving to the ref to try to get offsides. Just basically wasn't paying attention to the ball, and it bounced off his chest and went in. It would have gone wide had he just moved out of the way. The second own goal was a shot that ripped off the crossbar and then hit off of Hunter Gilstrap's back and went into the goal, which we'll talk about it. I don't know if there's a ton he could have done there. Mm-hmm. The third goal was an uncontested header that Gilstrap didn't move for. All three of them were just like head in your hands. What's going on? The only redeeming factor was that Herzog picked up a goal in the 90th minute. But by that point, you know, it seemed like everybody else just looked defeated except for Herzog and maybe Nicky Kolarek. They were the only ones that were really hustling around at the end. Josh, take it away, man.
What were your
thoughts here? Yeah.
I guess Branson, we'll go with that part first. This is something that's always bothered me about a lot of teams, actually, is when you see a player more concerned about the, you know, the reffing of the game than the actual game itself. He was auditioning to be a line judge, and he was more concerned about that than the ball. And, you know, you're a coach, Mike. I mean, play to the whistle. I mean, does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
That's a pretty basic concept, I think.
Yeah, I think, and here's the other thing. It's like, I don't know. My first thought was, okay, this is like he's being thrown in at center back in place for Campbell, who's suspended. But at the same time, I mean, this is, I guess technically, this is our third choice center back. And our third choice center back just simply needs to be better than that. And there's really not much, in my opinion, there's not much of an excuse to come in and play the way he did and just look out of sorts and make, I mean, I guess you can call it a mistake, but it's, yeah.
It's one of those things where I went back and I was like, no, wait a second. Now, hold on. Like, if the guy was actually offsides, that goal shouldn't have counted. And, like, I, like, watched it a few times. And the guy was, like, a step behind him. It wasn't even close. And it's like, just play the game, man. Like, don't try to look for help. Like, if you
and even
help,
if
you
he was offsides, I mean, you also have to worry about the fact that your hand is up inside the box, which means you can get a handball easily. I mean, it could have been a handball, but luckily it hit him in the chest, but then unluckily it bounced into the goal. So it's, I mean, I don't think the fact that he's usually a defensive midfielder matters in that situation. That's just, you know, basics of soccer.
Yeah, mental errors. What did you guys think about Gilstrap's goal? I mean, do you think that was something that could have been savable or bad luck, Kev?
No, I mean, it's maybe I need to watch it back again, but at least first time I watched it, it seemed like it was a shot that was coming pretty quick at him. And as far as the whole own goal thing, I mean, you know, it's a quick ricochet off the crossbar, hits his back of his head and goes in. Like I said, at first look, it seemed like the shot was from pretty close range and pretty quick coming at him, and it was kind of reactionary, and he just didn't get his hands up. quick enough. But I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things you wonder if coming in again for the first time. How many games did Vargas play in a row, and how many games did Gilstrap sit out for?
So, Vargas came in because Gilstrap was injured, had a back injury. I think he's played two or three games in a row.
It's felt longer than that.
I know, and yeah. It's been enjoyable.
So, so I don't know if it's a bit like a rustiness or whatever. But yeah, I mean, at least at first take, from my opinion, it looked like it was a tough shot to kind of get your hands up for. And I would look for our defense to kind of try to clean up, a ball bouncing around the box like that more so than I would expect my keeper to make a quick save like that.
The only reason why I bring it up is he sort of jumped and his hands were wide apart, almost like he was expecting it to go over the bar. And I feel like if he had just tried to put his hands in front of it so it didn't hit the bar, it would have been a save. But yeah, I don't blame him the same way that I blame Branson for that first one.
No, so I was very, very sad to see that Hunter was in goal instead of Vargas. I mean, I have, made my point clear about that. I like Vargas a lot. This one instance, I don't think it's completely on Hunter. The sun was going towards them. So, I mean, the sun was in their eyes. The wind was pretty strong. But still, I do think, Mike, you have a good point. If he would have just tried to push it over the bar instead of trying to, let it go over the bar itself, the situation would have been completely different.
Yeah. Well, and so I'm curious to hear what you guys think, because in my mind, I split this game up into two parts, pre-Branson's own goal and post-Gilstrap's own goal. And it's weird. I mean, for me, before Branson's goal, even though we weren't ruthless and didn't technically look like we were scoring, we were absolutely the better team and on top and passing the ball well and blah, blah, blah. And then after those two goals go in, we just absolutely collapse and heads fall off. And I mean, there was a point, I was mentioning it before the show, there was a point where I think it was around 25 minutes or so, where Okai has it in the middle of the pitch, no pressure on him whatsoever, wrestles on the right side of the touchline, goes to make a pass, and he puts it like literally 15 feet behind Russell and just puts it out of touch. And this is like, that's obvious. Like, we know Okai has the technical capability to make that pass. It's an easy pass. I mean, for me, that points to just a mental state where the team is completely, I mean, heads have gone at that point. And I don't know how you fix that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this gets back to like our whole, like we were talking before about Herzog just maybe need some confidence and then things start going your way, but it's tough to get confidence when you're not scoring. And I don't know if this is kind of knocked on for the rest of the team. You know, you need to get confidence to win these games, but you can't get confidence unless you win games. So, yeah, the two goals, I think, at least for me, kind of bookmarked two different parts of the game. We didn't look clinical in the first half, and I don't know where we go from here, but.
No, I think, and there were moments that the announcers mentioned it as well, that the Hounds looked good. Like, I think the phrase that one of the announcers used was Barcelona-esque in terms of the way that we were working the ball around. But, again, we've talked about how this is a team of moments, and it wasn't consistent all game. There were moments where we would get the ball and we would have enough people up the field that we could do the one-touch passing around and we looked good. But really, I don't think we had any legitimate chances on goal outside of the one that Herzog put in the net. And even at that, it was sort of a fluky, somebody headed it up in the air and it just happened to fall to his foot.
Yeah, there wasn't a build-up play. We didn't see the goal coming, right? This wasn't like, okay, yep, Ripper Hounds are putting on pressure. Here's the goal.
We literally didn't see the goal because the camera was pointed at the refs while the ball went in the back of the net. So, yeah, it's, I mean,
yeah,
I guess...
You said the Ripper Hounds were good. I mean, I was extremely depressed after watching that. I mean, like, I will say probably the one good thing for me was we are passing the ball better. I think we're passing the ball better and we're moving better and we're doing better kind of one-touch football, soccer. But, I mean, that was really the only thing. And, yeah, conditions were tough. It was hot. It was windy. At the same time, Richmond has to play in those conditions as well. So it's not like we're the only team that needs to play in those conditions. So, it, you know, you just need to find ways around this. And we need to find a way to kind of dig ourselves out of this. And I don't know how it comes. I don't know where it comes from. But hopefully it comes soon.
I think the difficult thing is watching a team that you can tell mentally something's missing. Where, like... Mm-hmm. It's something else if you can tell that they're getting their chances, they're working as hard as they can, and it's just not falling for them. But I think in this game, especially in the last 20 minutes or so, it looked like a number of guys just sort of checked out. Like, they were just going through the motions, like, let's just play this game out and not make it too terrible.
After two own goals, I mean, that's kind of what happened. And, you know, the team doesn't have exactly the, like, I think... Brant was talking about it, the mentality of a winning team. And, you know, you get that kind of a team who's having that issue, and then you put two own goals within the first 20 minutes. Yeah, that's going to compound it a lot. yeah. But it definitely is kind of sad to see. It felt like we went back a couple steps. Like, the last two games before this, it felt like something was building. It's kind of like a, what is it, Sisyphus? The Greek mythology, like, you know, rolling the boulder up the hill, and then, like, you just saw it go right back down this game.
So. Yeah, that was something that I thought of as well, was this was really sort of the first, well, I'll say the first away game that we've seen with Coach Brant, because the first game that he had was against New York Red Bulls too, but he only had, like, 3 days with the team. Mm-hmm. So now he's had basically 3 weeks to prep, and it almost felt like it was a different approach than what we saw last week, where last week it was very much high intensity. We're taking the game to them. You know, we're constantly getting balls into the corner and we're dropping them back. I think I counted maybe a handful of times that we actually did that this game. It seemed like it was much more of a, let's sit back, try to absorb pressure. It felt like a different game plan. And I don't know if that's something that we were trying to do, or Coach Brant's trying to do, because it is a way. Kev, you sort of, like, goffed at that.
You idiot. For me at least, I felt for the first 15 or so, when it was still nil-nil, I was actually impressed at how much, in my opinion, the Riverhounds wanted to take the game to them. I mean, we saw it from the kickoff. You know, they have like 5 or 6 players on the halfway line ready to go, and I actually thought, you know, we were keeping the ball in their half pretty well. And after the first 15, I was thinking, okay, we actually look like the home team here. I mean, we don't look like the away team on a bad pitch on tough conditions. We look like we're in control, and I was pleased with that. But, you know, post the two goals, I would tend to agree. Something switched. And obviously, I mean, I don't know if this is a good thing or bad thing. I mean, you obviously know something's going wrong when you're making a sub at 25 or whatever it was. What, Maloto came off.
And, I believe it was the 33rd minute, yeah.
Okay, 33rd, yeah. I mean, and so, you know, as a fan, something went wrong at that point when you're making a sub that early. And at the same time, Coach Brant knows something's going wrong. And he's not afraid to pull the trigger on that and say, you know what, no, we need to make the switch now. This can't wait until halftime. And so I thought that was a really interesting kind of occurrence in the game. And generally needed. I don't know. I mean, how do you guys think Maloto played those first 33? Did he deserve to get taken off that early? Or was... Because it seemed like, at least from the commentators, they were mentioning how they thought maybe he was kind of not fulfilling his defensive responsibilities a bit. He was kind of getting caught all over the pitch. Which, yeah, I didn't see much from going offensively. I don't know. I can't recall if Richmond were particularly dangerous along that right side, our left side. But, yeah, what are you guys' thoughts on Maloto's 33-minute performance? I thought it was
Okai.
There was a bunch of confusion. Like, the announcers didn't know who it was. I think originally they said it was Maloto, and then I think they said, no, it was Okai. But then Maloto came up. There was a lot of, like, phantom subs that were going on where, like, they didn't catch it on camera. So then all of a sudden I'm looking and I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. Like, Jack Thompson's in. How did Jack Thompson, like, who did he come in for? And you're like, well, wait, hold on. What's going on? So, yeah, I think one was One was Okai. I think they took out Drew Russell for dehydration or something, or that's what they were saying they thought it was. So I don't know if that was the same instance with Okai or what.
Yeah, I'll believe you guys if you say Okai.
I'm just going off
Kevin,
of
you
the press
now.
Sheet that I'm looking at right now. Right, yeah. Yeah, according to the press sheet, it said that Okai came off in the 33rd minute and Jack Thompson came on.
Okay.
So that's what I got.
Then I thought Okai had a very poor 33 minutes.
He kind of just disappeared after the 33rd minute. Yeah. I don't know what happened. It was like he wasn't even on the field anymore.
Well, I mean, at the same time, I don't know. Maybe that points to how I saw Melotto's performance, too.
Right? There you go. Yeah, Melotto, I think, came out at the 75th minute, actually. He was one of the last people subbed. Harley came in for him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
I don't know what I was doing this game.
Being very sad at the watch party, just kind of my head down on the bar, just like, oh, happy birthday to me.
So regardless, you know, this obviously didn't play out the way that we had hoped, or I think anybody had hoped. I think the one thing to point out is that in the last show we talked about, over the next 10 games, what will we consider it to be a success? And our predictions ranged anywhere from 10 points to 16 points over the 10-game span. So I think if we're going to take sort of the higher-level view, this loss does not ruin the season as much as it felt like, you know, the guys just sort of checked out and it wasn't great. Mm-hmm. With that said, let's look for at least some little rays of sunshine. Do you guys have a man of the match here in terms of the Hounds? Josh?
I guess Herzog, because he scored. But honestly, I didn't really think he did that great. Thompson actually had some good passes, the forward-thinking passes that were, you know, putting other players into attacking positions to shoot on goal. So that was pretty good. But yeah, overall, either Thompson or Herzog probably.
Kev?
Yeah, I like the Thompson shout. And Herzog's finish was instinctful. I wonder if this will allow him to kind of kick on and maybe get some confidence scoring some goals. I tend to doubt it after an entire team performance and result like that. Mm-hmm. But hopefully not all is lost with that. I don't know. I was actually fairly... I mean, so I'm making this call not necessarily based off of end product, but I thought when we went down, you were, I don't know, kind of got this, it's not a swagger, but this kind of like anger about him where he was like, you know what, I don't care if I'm not the best player on the pitch. I'm going to act like I'm the best player on the pitch. Give me the ball. I just want to make something happen. And it seemed like he was getting frustrated. It seemed like he was, you know, barking at the ref. He was kind of sticking his foot in on some challenges and things like that. Which, I mean, I want to see my players react that way after going down to two very soft goals and on this recent run of form that we're in. So just for that alone, I was happy to see at least someone change their play a bit and start to demand the ball a bit more, even if nothing came off of it. I think maybe that shows just a bit more of that mental fight than the rest of the team that we saw. So I'd probably have to say Ewart.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna say Herzog. Although I do like the Thompson shout out. I made a note as I was going through the game that in the first half, I thought he made a number of really good passes. There were some long passes on the ground that were spot on. He looked sharp, sort of fell off a little bit in the second half for me. But the reason why I'm going to go with Herzog is just we've talked about in the past the type of player that we would like to see. And for a while, everyone was saying Hollingsworth because Hollingsworth had that, like, I don't care what's going on. I'm going to chase down every ball. I'm going to run you over, even if I'm not the best player in the field. Kev, it's what you said about Ewart. From start to finish, even if it wasn't always effective, I felt that Herzog didn't have any quit in him. I mean, he was chasing after every ball. He was either coming back to play balls. It wasn't always pretty, but out of everybody on the field, I didn't see that sort of switch off after the two own goals. He kept trying to play, and he kept trying to pull the guys out of it. So I thought it was good that he got the goal. Kev, it's like you said, I thought it was instinctual. There was nothing you could really take away from it. But for me, I feel like if I'm going to look at the current lineup that we have and say, you know, one or two players are Pittsburgh to me, I feel like Herzog falls in that category just from that, like, no quit.
Two points I want to bring up off the back of that. One, do we know what's going on with Hollingsworth? Because if it was just a concussion, it feels like he's been out a while for a concussion.
Well, I mean, concussions can vary depending on severity. And, yeah, I haven't heard anything.
Yeah. Okay. And the second one is, yeah, I thought the fact that A, Ewert is getting more playing time, and B, that it seemed like Herzog was really kind of jumping all over the pitch. So there'd be times where he'd be up, and I felt maybe more of the time he was kind of either out on the side or right behind Ewert. And that makes me wonder if Coach Brandt actually sees enough numbers out of Herzog to think that, okay, yeah, this guy can be our lone striker, which might be a fair result. I mean, you know, he's not that striker that's just going to be a poacher who just wants to score goals and isn't going to help out any other part of the game. He obviously wants to run, obviously wants to help his defensive responsibilities and put the other team under pressure and all that kind of stuff. So I wonder if almost his position isn't actually a striker and it's more of, you know, maybe the side of like a 4-3-3 or something. Just that, you know, not a center forward, maybe still a forward, but still kind of, you know, taking a bit of the pressure off of him and not expecting so many goals out of him. But
yeah, it kind of felt like they were switching positions a lot, like between him and Herzog. Ewert and Herzog, they were going back and forth with that. So I believe the announcers even made the comment, like, maybe it's a tactic trying to confuse, you know, them. But who knows? It did seem like Herzog was more back than forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Jumping back to pick up the ball. So in terms of moments in the game, there was a particular moment that stuck out to me. I don't know if you guys had any sort of moment, we can't say the own goals, that sort of defined the something good about the Hounds, and not that mine's good, but I'll go first. So and maybe you guys don't have any, maybe I just wanted to talk about this but there was a moment,
we'll find out.
Yeah, there was a moment in the second half where Kerr had the ball and he was sort of shoved down from behind, and he was probably 30, 35 yards out, and so he goes up to take the free kick, and you see Harley is there. Harley had just been subbed in, and Harley's standing there like, I'm going to take the free kick, and you can see Kerr walks over like, kid, what are you doing here? Like, I'm taking the free kick. And so they have a little back and forth moment, and you see Kerr just put his arm around Harley and just sort of like point, like, you know, you go over there. You go ahead over there.
You just came in on the 75th minute. You haven't been here.
And Harley just sort of like meanders away, like, or I think he actually like backed up like he was going to take the kick and then just sort of like jogged to the side. The ball ended up getting to him, like, to his credit. Mm-hmm. He ended up getting it and doing something with it. But I found that part, I mean, just the shot of Kerr putting his arm around him and like pointing, like, no. You see this captain's armband? Yeah, you got it over there. I got this. Yeah, so I that was my moment of like brevity over the course of this game. Like, all right, that's good. So...
Yeah, I don't know if I have a moment. Honestly, it's not a good moment. The biggest, like, the thing that sticks out in my mind the most, and the thing I'll remember about this game the most, is that Okai pass. And then, the slight kind of positive. I mean, you would expect your players to do this, but when we scored, you know, in the 89th minute or whatever, I appreciate the fact that Hunt immediately went into the net, grabbed the ball, went back to the center line, and put it down. Like I said, you would expect your players to do that, but at least, even if they don't internally believe it, they're showing it on the outside, saying, okay, no, this, you know, we're going to keep going here until the final whistle, and that was good to see. But
yeah, I guess a moment would be, for me at least, it's not really a moment, it's more of a takeaway, I guess, is just the lack of Earls. We haven't really talked about that yet.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Danny Earls, nowhere to be seen at all. Was
he on the bench? Do we know?
No, he wasn't there at all. In fact, that he posted something on Instagram during the game, so definitely not there. But like, even if he would have been, like, I understand if he's not game ready. He hasn't been playing for a professional team this whole season, so, you know, he's probably not game fit. but it'd been nice to at least see him make an appearance there, or maybe just travel with the team to start kind of rebuilding that camaraderie. You know, there's a lot of new players, but yeah, nowhere to be seen.
Yeah,
that is a really good point. You would probably at least expect him to travel with the team, especially being, you know, last season's captain.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping. I was hoping to at least see him there, you know, to, you know, cheer on the team, or, you know, be there on the bench.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But nothing.
Was his, like, Instagram post, like, you know, glad I'm not at the game? Was it, like, very condescending? Like,
man, I'm glad there's air conditioning in this room. Not out on the 90-degree pitch. Nah, it was a picture that he drew. He's a really good artist. In fact, check out his Instagram. He's a fantastic artist.
Okay. I was thinking it was, like, a picture of his dinner or something. Just like, man, this steak looks good right now.
Carbon up.
All right, well, yeah, I mean, do you guys have any other takeaways from this game? I feel like we should just sort of turn the page and not necessarily pretend it didn't happen, but...
I would like to point out, if it wasn't for the two own goals, it would have been 1-1. Just saying.
Well,
That was my prediction.
I think the other thing is, too, though, if that ball doesn't go off of Branson and go in, I think it's a very different game. I mean, I think we've sort of alluded to it. I think the guys mentally look defeated after the two own goals. But can we agree that Richmond is not a good team? Like, there were no moments where it was like, man, these guys are really going to take it to us. Like, we were, and we've been saying this all season, which is just driving me crazy. We have had moments, and I know sort of in my heart of hearts that most of these teams we've played against, we are the better team. We have the better players. We're just missing something, and it's...
I mean, it goes back to that kind of ruthlessness and learning how to win games. I mean, you know, you need to be able to score when you're on top, and we didn't do that in the first 15. And when you don't score when you're on top, then, you know, the longer you let the other team kind of hang in the game, granted it was 15 minutes in, so it wasn't like they scored in the 90th minute and stole 1-0. But when you don't have anything to show for your dominance over periods of the game, then, you know, 9 times out of 10, I don't think you're going to get the result that you want. So yeah, ruthlessness and learning how to win, which I don't know how you get that experience.
I would love to see them come out this week and just say anything less than 10 goals is a loss. Like, just but like, have that mentality of like, we're opening it up and we're just going for it, and that's it. And like, it's to your point, Kev, you have to develop that ruthlessness somehow, and it's, you have to go in with a swagger. Like, you know, Montreal's coming to town. We won't get into it too much because we have the preview show coming up later this week, but Montreal is the only team in the league that is worse than us. They have one win and the rest losses. They don't even have the draws that we have. So we literally have twice as many points as they do.
Don't jinx it, Michael.
I'm just saying, if you're going to develop a swagger, at least it's justified in this game because we are better than them points-wise. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the table, we've played 11 and we have 6 points. And Montreal has played 11 and they have 3 points. So we're both at the bottom of the table. Something's got to give, right? Something's got to happen.
Right? This is now past the 3-game, you know, buffer I was giving Brandt. So from here on, this is where, you know, we make our run.
So basically, in terms of that buffer, this last game, you're still giving him a pass. Like, all right, now... You think the next, like, you're in terms of the Josh scale, the next game is when it starts counting, correct?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, this is where I'm now saying, like, this is his team now. It's no longer the team that he took over. Now this is his team.
I have sort of this mental picture of you sort of standing there on the sidelines with your arms crossed, like, this was your last chance. You just wasted it. Like,
pitch
now you got to go
out
for real.
Hand. I got the pitchfork and the torch. I'm just waiting.
Well, this actually brings up an interesting question. So over the 3 games, you know, what do you think was the best performance under Brandt? Because you would kind of expect the performances to get better, but I would certainly this wasn't the best performance.
It wasn't this one. It was the game before. I mean, that was his best performance so far.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, well, hopefully we can... I don't know, extract some of the magic that we saw in the last home game for the home game this weekend. But this obviously was not the best performance this season. We saw moments of specialness, Barcelona-esque, if we really want to go there. But the Hounds drop another one, 3-1. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about some other cool stuff going on around the city.
We'd love to hear from you. Find us on Twitter at Mongols, on Facebook at Mongols, and email us at howl@mongols.com. Any questions, comments, or reactions read on air could win you your own Riverhounds jersey. Thanks!
All right, and we're back. So, a team that that isn't losing in Pittsburgh, the Penguins, pulled out a W last night to bring home the Stanley Cup. And, you know, obviously this is a soccer podcast, but, you know, hats off to the Pens for pulling it off. I still, you know, agree that the Stanley Cup is the most difficult trophy to win in all of sports. And so it was good to see them to get the win. One of the interesting things that I think is... It's true, but as they were making the cup run, there were a lot of signs or a lot of t-shirts that said, when you play Pittsburgh, you play all of Pittsburgh. And I thought how amazing that would be if that applied to the Riverhounds as well. But it seems that, you know, it really only applies to the Penn Steelers and Pirates really when they're winning. Because when the Pirates were, you know, in Dumpsville, there weren't people wearing t-shirts that says, when you play Pittsburgh, you play all of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it was like, I feel like when the Pirates were losing and they were literally like, what, the most losing team in sports history?
Yes.
There were like a magical rare animal at the zoo where everyone's like, oh my gosh, look how bad they are. Like, it wasn't like let's get behind them. They're part of Pittsburgh. It was, guys, did you see they lost another game? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the one knock on Pittsburgh that you always hear is they're kind of, you know, they show up when the team's good, but as soon as the team gets bad, they're just like, we're not showing up anymore.
Yeah.
We'll come back to the games when they're actually good.
Yeah. The one thing that was good to see was that the Pirates and the Steelers were publicly supporting the Pens. There were a lot of Steeler players and Pirate players at the game, and then there were pictures of the Pirates all wearing jerseys as they were going to warm-ups and all that stuff. It would be great if we could somehow, like, wrap the Hounds into that as well. Like, the mm-hmm. little, like, kid brother thing. Like,
Me too, guys.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, these guys are struggling, but they're part of the same crew. Can we give them some love? And, yeah.
The Riverhounds did have some clever marketing stuff where they were doing a little, you know, shout-outs to the Pens.
Yeah.
I believe I saw Ammo at Joe's Crab Shack ordering shark and eating a shark. So, you know, they did some things that were, you know, clever and fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we just need to snag some more of that. But, yeah, congrats to the Pens. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of parties going on right now, and there will continue to be parties going on. I think the parade is scheduled for Wednesday of this week.
Yes.
So lots of craziness going on downtown. If you're around, I saw the parade last time we won it, and it was a good time. So if you're available, it's worth going down and checking out. Wow, I feel like I left that one on like a downer.
I guess, you know, the Penguins winning.
Good job.
Go check out the parade for Mongo.
Someday. So something else that's really cool that's going on. The Steel Army announced the third annual Foot Golf Open. Josh, I am going to open this up to you, man. Tell the people, what is foot golf? What is going on here? Because this sounds like an awesome event.
Yeah, what
and I
is
can't
foot
wait.
Golf? I actually don't know.
Foot golf. Okay, so imagine golf. Now, instead of playing with clubs, you play with your foot and you kick a soccer ball. And obviously, the hole is a lot bigger to fit the soccer ball.
That'd be really difficult if the hole was
exactly.
Like golf ball size. Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. Essentially, that's the whole premise of it. It's pretty simple to figure out how to play. If you know how to play golf or you know anything about golf at all, you can play foot golf. And it's a lot harder than you think. Like, there's a lot of athleticism just to do this.
How long are the holes like golf course blank holes? Because that's like 400 yards. Like, that
yeah,
would take like,
I mean,
8 shots to get that.
You're not kicking it in one go usually.
Yeah.
It's a little bit shorter, but yeah, it's still, you know, pretty hard.
It'd be cool if people switched shoes for like different clubs. You know what I mean? Like that'd be pretty cool. Like someone should come up with a line of foot golf shoes. Like I'm gonna get my drivers out and like, shoes.
Field goal kickers used to wear the flat toe shoe. Like they used to toe the ball, so you could do that to try to get some more distance on it. Yeah.
There, you can bring that to the field, and then you'll have the edge over everyone else.
What is that? What are you wearing?
But yeah, so it's going to be July 16th, 11 a.m. at Cabin Greens Golf Course. This is our third time doing it at Cabin Greens. They've been awesome. You know, you have teams. We rent golf carts. We have a keg that drives around on a golf cart, so that's great. It's just a lot of fun. It's going to be $20 for Steel Army members and $25 for non-members, and you can actually register on the Steel Army's website. Just go to the blog, and there's a big banner on the side for foot golf. And, yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's good, awesome. Good way to get your mind off the current run of the Riverhounds. Go out, have a nice Saturday, drink
it's
some
July
drink.
16th, so it could be completely different. I mean, the field could be, you know, completely different as far as the Riverhounds go. Who knows?
Yeah,
it could
be. We got time. And that was something I noted here, too, is that the Hounds play on Thursday at home against Richmond, and then Sunday against Harrisburg. There's a gaping Saturday there where they don't have anything going on. We should, I mean, for fear of risking injury, I don't know if we should, but we should see if we could coax some of the players out to play with us. That could be a really good time. Film some stuff with, you know, Herzog riding around on a golf cart next to the kegger, and...
I would imagine the goalies probably wouldn't be the best at
Speaking of that, I think Hunter, I only saw Hunter kick it out to the right once during one of his,
I guess it was a little windy, but, you know,
But, yeah, so it sounds like an amazing event, and I saw some pictures floating around from a few years ago. It definitely looks like a lot of fun. What I think, it's not required, but it's suggested that you wear knee-high argyles and shorts and or a kilt and a flat hat and a polo.
Go full out. Yeah. The more outlandish you can get, probably the more pictures, one, you'll have of you, unfortunately, but also the better it is. And we have a trophy, and, you know, it's been passed along. And
there's
your name on it.
Now I really...
Legit.
Okay. See, but here's my fear, is that if I go, I'm going to take this way too seriously. Like, I need to just go and, like, just chill.
Fights
and...
are going to break out. Josh isn't going to be back on.
apparently.
So I'm going to start practicing and come in like, oh, I'm a three handicap, so, you know. What are you?
Does he have a flat cleat? I just saw?
You're
gonna get some like sambas and paint them gold and just like wear that.
But no, it sounds like an amazing event. So anybody that, you know, likes golf and is a fan of soccer, this sounds like an awesome crossover. Honestly, I've always liked the concept of golf, but the game itself always frustrated me more than anything else. Like most people that I play with don't end up leaving the golf course happy. Like they always like miss hit shots and then they're upset and then they're like whacking at the grass with their clubs. And I think after a while I was like, I'm not really enjoying this. Like I'm going because everybody's going, but I don't really enjoy it. So I'm just going to stop going. But the idea of like, hey, let's do it with soccer instead. Yeah, let's do that. Like that's totally worthwhile. So yeah. Look for me in knee-high argyles and, I'll see if I can find a kilt online. That could be really interesting. But yeah, go check it out. Absolutely. Sign up. Otherwise, I think, you know, we can just briefly touch on what's going on this upcoming weekend. So this weekend, FC Montreal comes to town. As we talked about it, they are the worst team in the league. If we lose to them...
And we can factually say that.
If we can factually say they are the worst team in the league. If we lose to them, I think that would make us the worst team in the league because of head-to-head. So we don't want to do that. We want to come out and try to beat them with 10 goals.
Well, okay, and here's the other thing. They've played 11 games. They've only scored 6 goals. So, and we scored 11, if you can believe it.
Oh, okay. I was scared for every single
one. Yeah, I was like, how many have we scored? it's also Beers and Brats night, and it's Star Wars night. So there's beer sampling starting at 5, and the Star Wars fan club, the 501st Legion, will be there in costume taking photos. Josh will be there wearing his one of his many Star Wars t-shirts, apparently. Fans are encouraged to wear their own stuff. Funny, just something that, you know, I thought might be fun to kick around. If you look at a lot of minor league baseball teams and minor league hockey teams, when they have these sort of like themed nights, they will actually have different jerseys that sort of go with that theme. So I think there was a baseball team that had a Back to the Future night where their jersey looked like a jean jacket with a vest over top of
the
it.
The orange puffy vest.
Yes, nice. The orange puffy vest. So if the Hounds had to change the look of their uniform for Star Wars night, Kevin's head just turned to the heavens. Like, what would it look like?
I want to see yeah, Jabba the Hutt's body imposed on a jersey. That's what I want to see.
Terrible.
The rolls of brownness.
See, I was thinking the opposite direction. I thought the Princess Leia gold would be really funny to see on a jersey.
I thought about this way too much. I was actually thinking, like, okay, it would be cool. TIE fighter outfit to look like they're TIE fighters. Yes. Like, just, you know, the right colors there. Make it yellow instead of orange. It would work out perfectly. Or stormtroopers would be the easiest. White jerseys with, like, a little bit of touches of stormtrooper.
Yeah. That, cool. I mean, I think that'd be fun. I mean, I think it gets a little kitschy. Like, whenever I see, like, other teams do that, I'm like, oh, come on. But here I am talking, like, Stormtrooper.
Buy a Stormtrooper Hounds jersey. Hell yeah.
Stormtrooper jerseys, and then all of our shots will justifiably just go way off.
It'd be really cool if somebody was there with the sound effects, though, every time they took a shot. Yeah. Make somebody please
Steel
make that
Army.
Happen.
Don't worry, the Steel Army will have that covered.
Yes, yes. So get to the game because it sounds like it's going to just be a blast. I've already talked to a few people who are like, "It's the Star Wars game." Yeah, I'm going. So
yeah, if nothing else, the 501st is fantastic. If you've never seen them, like, it's the stormtroopers. They all dress up. It's great. They have more than just stormtroopers. It's really good. They're at pretty much every Comic-Con in Pittsburgh. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. So take the kids, go get pictures taken. It'll be a blast. But yeah, like I said, we'll have more on the. We'll talk about Montreal more during midweek. Also, we'll have Jack Thompson is going to be joining us midweek as well. So send us your questions for him.
Nice.
And we'll read them on air. Yeah, newest member of the Hounds. Apparently, he's out house shopping. So we got a little bump and got to make it work on our schedule. So send us your questions for Jack. Otherwise. Guys, anything else to talk about in this one?
That's all for me.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, for Josh and Kev, I am Mike. Have a great week, everybody, and we will talk to you very, very soon.
Cheers.
Later.